Amen. Praise God. We're reading the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what would they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in glory, in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What a good word. The gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's good to be here with you. Let me get myself situated here. I went old school and I actually used paper. So it's been a while. It's been a while since I've used paper. I've relied on my iPad for a while. But I got lazy. So if you have your prayer cards, you can lift those up, and I don't know if they were collected already, but if they weren't, we want to pray with you. We've been in the sermon series entitled Faith and Not Formula, and this morning I primarily want to focus on the gospel, our gospel lesson, because I think that in our gospel we find a pattern for life. And this pattern involves leaving one way of seeing or living and reaching a different pattern. And I'm just going to say it's a higher way of living. And if we're careful and we take notice, we discover that this is a universal pattern. It's everywhere. You can find it in most, especially if it's good literature. I was so tempted to do some Lord of the Rings stuff today, because it's there. It's there. Frodo has to leave. Right? Frodo has to leave. He has to go on this journey. And it's found all over Scripture. And so here we have this scenario where Jesus is finding himself revealing to his closest followers, his disciples, what's coming. The events that are going to be unfolding. On the screen, we have verse 21 from what Renee read. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great, great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And this is probably the most important and on the third day be raised. So we've been talking about what is the difference between having faith and living a formula. And we love formulas. I love formulas. Formulas are predictable and constant. They give us something to grasp, and they give the ego, especially our egos, something to control and master. Now, I'm not saying this is bad, because we want certain things in our life to be formulaic. We want that In-N-Out burger to taste the same every single time, no matter what In-N-Out you go to. You are expecting, right? It's a formula. They have a formula. This is how you do it. We want our bodies to get smaller if we follow a certain caloric formula. And it's predictable, and you know, if I follow this, you know, if I don't eat for 5 days, I'm going to lose weight. You should eat for 5 days, but that's the wrong formula. However, our gospel this morning makes it very clear that this way of thinking just doesn't work when it comes to following God. And Jesus reveals to his closest friends here that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer, be killed, and it's this and that we have to live with, and be raised on the third day. This is the pattern, and it requires immense faith because it takes you to a place of suffering and death and darkness so that you can be raised into a new life, into a new higher way of seeing, of thinking, and of living. And it requires faith because you're never quite certain. You just have to experience powerlessness, doubt, shadow, and not knowing. And our egos have a hard time with this. This is why it's faith. Jesus will later tell Peter at the end of John, and it's on the screen, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." What he's telling Peter is this is not an easy path. The road to Jerusalem is a path that we would rather not go. The road to uncertainty, or the path into uncertainty and into darkness, is one that we try to avoid. In fact, the world has made it so that we should avoid it. And we don't know how to react or how to live in suffering and in pain, in darkness, in doubt. We don't know how to hold that. Sometimes we choose the path, and sometimes it becomes laid out for us, and we have no choice but to take it. Richard Rohr, you knew I was going to quote Richard Rohr, right? I can email this to you because I didn't have it on the screen. "Darkness is always present alongside light. Pure light blinds. Shadows are required for our seeing. We know the light most fully in contrast with its opposite, the dark. There is something that can only be known by going through the night sea journey into the belly of the whale, from which we are spit up on an utterly new shore. Western civilization as a whole does not know how to hold darkness. Rather than teach a path of descent, Christianity in the West preached a system of winners and losers, a prosperity gospel." Something happens to you when you are broken that would otherwise never happen to you. And out of this brokenness and shadow, you are able to see a new light in our world. We are moved, we are taken, we are invited out of the lower levels of seeing and living, where the goal really is just to protect and to preserve the self above all else. And it takes you to a place where you see yourself as part of something bigger. You see how everything belongs, how everything is interconnected, how we are interconnected. You become alive to a new set of guidelines: goodness, compassion, kinship, love. Richard Rohr says, welcome your own pain and you will in some way feel the pain of the world. This is what it means to be human and also divine. In his book, With Burning Hearts, Henry Nouwen writes, communion with Jesus means becoming like him. With him, we are nailed on the cross. With him, we are laid in the tomb. With him, we are raised to accompany the lost travelers on their journey. Communion, becoming like Christ, leads us into a new realm of being. It ushers us into the kingdom. There, the old distinctions between happiness and sadness, success and failure, praise and blame, health and sickness, life and death no longer exist. There, we no longer belong to the world that keeps dividing, judging, separating, and evaluating. There, we belong to Christ and Christ to us, and with Christ, we belong to God. People that do not go on this journey simply do not grow past the lower levels. They remain and are primarily motivated by self-centeredness. They are self-absorbed and self-focused. The goals are to protect what little tribes and boundaries they have built. And it creates people who become obsessed with winning. We've heard that recently. Being first, being the best. I see this in my kids, so I know it's in us. The latest fight, we have two cup holders, and I want to strangle the person at Acura who did this. But our cup holders in the center seat in the middle row, instead of being side by side, it's first, front, and back. So the fight is, who's first? My cup holder's first. And of course, the other kid's like, well, you know, take that out. My cup holder's first. I'm like, really? 2 inches? But we're obsessed with this concept of better, me, winning, best. When we're stuck in that, we have little to no ability for compassion. Empathy, with no awareness of how interconnected we are. We never build kinship. Love is never really awoken. Kinship is what happens when you see the floodwaters and you open your doors. I had to throw that in because it bugged me all week. We read from Genesis, it is past the wilderness that Moses finds God. He has to travel far. He has to leave what he knows. It is in the very darkness, it is in that wilderness, it is in the floodwaters that God says, take off your shoes because this is holy. We won't find God if we never leave on that journey. And I think this is why Jesus gives Peter such a strong rebuke. If you want to follow me, if you want to know where I'm going, where I am discoverable and found, you have to leave that and go on that journey just like little Frodo. You have to leave home. This week, Pastor Kevin resumes his Hump Day podcast. And the first episode of what we're calling season two. We have seasons. He interviews Pastor Alex Bowman. If you don't know Pastor Alex, he is the pastor of one of our sister churches. It's a church plant in Boyle Heights. This week, you will hear his story of loss and darkness. I believe we have a picture of him.
Maybe not. No. What you will hear is a story of Pastor Alex becoming fatherless at age 10 in a tragic summer morning. What you all to hear is how this young man who has traveled to his Jerusalem and has come out of his darkness a completely different person. He found life. He found Jesus. God tells Abraham to leave his mother and father behind. Jesus tells his first disciples, leave your nets behind. You don't need that where we're going. What is he telling you to leave today? What have you been holding on? What identity, what label, what item or thing of pride that makes you, this is who I am. This is what makes me important, valuable. This is what it means to win for me. What is God? What is Jesus telling you through our gospel? Leave your life with all your identity, with all your securities, with all your comforts. Let us leave our ego. Let us follow Jesus into Jerusalem. If you want to save your life, you will lose it. That's scary. That's not a comforting passage. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And that's what we all want. That's why we're here. Now more than ever, we need to walk into the unknown that surrounds us. The darkness and the uncertainty of our days. And we must continue on the journey of faith. Because there is good in our world. There is love in people. We see glimpses of kinship, of compassion, of selfless love. And although there are many chances to turn back, we keep going because we know that this shadow will pass. And the light of Christ will always be there.